always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hello and welcome to the Monday installment of Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening in. I'm Neil Stavem. And here at Faith Radio, we're, I shouldn't say here at Faith Radio. I guess Ted Ross at the controls. I could say
Ted. Today? Yeah.
This is the day Norwegians love to celebrate Valentine's Day. Candy's half price, you know.
Oh, so yeah, that's, right. That's, get into the stores and clean them out.
That's right. Anyway, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. And today, a great lineup again this week. Tomorrow, friends of Faith Radio, Kirby Stahl, who is the head of the Northwestern Foundation here at the University of Northwestern, and Paul Stein, who is... has been our guest in the past. Kirby and Paul are coming by tomorrow. We're going to talk a little estate planning, which is certainly timely anytime, and it's maybe something that you've been thinking about as maybe a New Year's resolution or goal, say this year, and get that taken care of, or, you know, make some steps toward that. So we're going to do that tomorrow, and that'll be a good program at it. And we don't always, you know, try and make everything fit, you know, but it sort of fits because today we're going to talk about mastering life before it's too late.
It'll be timely
because tomorrow will be too late. No, tomorrow we'll talk estates, but today we're going to talk mastering life, and I'm very excited to bring back a friend to Faith Radio. We've had Rob Morgan on a number of times on the show, and just always enjoy the conversations. Robert Morgan's a pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. It's several thousand, I think 3,000-4,000, and he served there for, I think it's 35 years now, over 30 years, best-selling author. He's had at least 25 books written and a Gold Medallion Award-winning author. He's also staff writer for Dr. David Jeremiah and Turning Points magazine. And among his hobbies, tending the same flock of sheep for over 30 years gives him a unique perspective. And actually, he's kind of hunkered down today because they're having a little ice storm in Nashville. So we're... We're sorry for you, Rob, but we're glad it's not us. I think it's basically how we're looking at it. So welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't have anywhere to go today. I'm here in my office looking out at a winter wonderland, and just I feel sorry for all the people who do have to be in their vehicles, but I'm just sort of enjoying the day. I'm getting some study and some work done.
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, how we can maybe get the study and work done, because the subtitle of this book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, is 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. And I have to say, you know, and we've talked with Rob in a number of his great books, and we'll have him back here hopefully around Easter time to just enjoy some hymn stories, because he's written so many wonderful those stories. But you quote John Maxwell early on in the book, and of course, you know, Maxwell has written a lot about how we kind of manage time and life. He says, if we want to do something with our lives, then we must focus on today. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. And I'm wondering, Rob, if this topic, the idea of mastering life, is this something that you just felt as a need in your life, or is it something that you encountered maybe with those that are part of your fellowship there that say, you know, people struggle to kind of make the most of every day?
Well, it's a good question, Neil. I am 62 years old. I gave my life as fully as I knew how to the Lord when I was 19 as a sophomore in college. And I had very good mentors in those early days. And I spent 3 years at Columbia International University in South Carolina. And my professors and mentors and those who were an encouragement to me began to show me that there are patterns and habits and behaviors that Christians have that nobody else really has, and that these are the secrets to productivity in life. And I've spent 40 years thinking through those things and what it really means to be a disciple, and how we can develop patterns of productivity so that we can go through life and at the end of it have done what the Lord placed us on this planet to do. And my conclusion is that success is doing the will of God in one-day increments with the right attitudes. And there are 10 different patterns that help us to do that. And that's what we've hammered together in this book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late.
You know, it's interesting. The title, is it meant to maybe apply a little pressure to our efforts to maybe determine our purpose for living? Because, you know, all of us are maybe a little too casual about knowing that there is an end date coming.
Well, the Lord has proportioned to us a finite number of days. We're not here forever. We don't know how many days we have left. And once a day is gone, it's never coming back again. So, you know, if you have $1,000 and you lose that $1,000, you can go out and earn another $1,000. But if you lose 1,000 hours or you lose 1,000 days, they're never coming back again. You cannot earn or buy or steal or rent any more time. And so it's very important, I think, for us to begin today to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to be about your business, and to discover and to do God's will for every day. I think that the theme verse for this book is a verse that I found when I was a sophomore in the old Living Bible in Psalm 139, verse 16, where the psalmist said, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." And if that verse is true, then that means that we ought to take advantage of every day, because God has an agenda for us, and finding his will in one day increments and doing it with the right attitudes, well, that's what life is all about.
It is interesting, though, that, you know, as you talk about that wonderful verse, and that what a great picture that is about how God's intimately involved in our day-to-day lives. And we know that, of course, it's one of the principles, rather, the four spiritual laws that Campus Crusade has used for years. I mean, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. But it still seems like probably that question, why am I here, is maybe one of those purpose questions, or ones that maybe you hear most often as a pastor.
Well, people are looking for purpose in life. And one of the reasons is because we live in a society, as you talk about so often on your radio show, that is fully secularized now and atheistic. And if you believe that you're just some random product, a primordial sludge, that you're not made in the image of God, that there is no creator watching over you, that your future is nothing but despair, and that the world itself is one day going to come to an end, and the universe itself is going to burn out, and one day everything will be as though nothing had ever been. If you live like that, then, well, you're always looking for a purpose in life, because there is none. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that our purpose in life is to please him whether we are alive or dead. And that's a wonderful verse, because that tells us that really nothing changes at the moment of our death in terms of our great intentions in life. The moment before we die, we have a great purpose to please the Lord. And the moment after we die, the purpose is the same. And there is a continuity between heaven and earth for the child of God. And that means that every day we wake up and we say, well, this is another day to do the Lord's will and to serve him and to please him. And that's the kind of purpose in life that the world can never find in its secularism, but which we wouldn't give up for anything.
You know, the title of the book we're referencing is called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. We'll get into some of those 10 here in a moment. But I'm curious to know, Rob, do many of us just maybe try and get by day to day rather than trying to master life? What does it mean to master life?
Well, I think mastering life means that we are very intentional and diligent about serving the Lord every day. We don't have to be ministers or preachers or missionaries, but every morning when we wake up, there is someone that we can encourage. There is something we can do. God has an agenda for our lives, and wherever we are and whatever we're doing, as the day unfolds, we ought to be able to see and to understand that as we go through the day, we are doing God's will. The first principle in this book is that Jesus said when he was 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. Even as a child, he understood that God had a plan for his life and that he had to be diligent about fulfilling that plan. And when he got to the end of his life, he said, I have brought glory to you on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And I think that that's the essence of mastering life. It's waking up in the morning and saying, dear Lord, today I must be about my Father's business the way Jesus was even as a child. And we go through the day faithfully, and we come to the end of the day, we tuck ourselves into bed, and we can say, I have brought glory to you by finishing the work you've given me to do today. And when that becomes a pattern for our lives, then we go day after day in what Eugene Peterson called a long obedience in the same direction, and we'll get to the end of life whenever that comes and look back on it, and we can be fulfilled that the Lord has used us, that he's blessed us in ways greater than we know, and I think that he'll say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
So that's the statement we long to hear. How does that happen? Well, it happens as we master life, mastering life before it's too late. It's 10 biblical strategies for a lifetime of purpose. Rob Morgan just shared with us that one of those first fundamental ones is be about your Father's business. We'll talk about what that looks like day by day, step by step, as we go on in our conversation today. We welcome you to join with us, too. We've got some copies of this great new book to give out. It's from Howard Books, from Pastor Robert Morgan, who's written so many great best-selling books. This will be another resource. It will be an encouragement to you and maybe a nice gift to give to someone else as well. If you'd like to sign up to be a part of the drawing for that, we have three copies to give away. We do drawing at the end of the show. And we just ask that you call us and give us your contact information, and we'll put you in the drawing. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient to go online, you can connect with us that way. It's myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And you may have a question, too, just about maybe it's about, you know, redeeming the time, or it's the need to maybe rest, or, you know, just some of those things. If you've been wondering about that, sort of getting organized, all those things, Pastor Rob Morgan will give us some great insights. Robert Morgan's the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He served there for 33 years and authored more than 25 books. And we're talking about his latest, Mastering Life. More in just a moment. Stay tuned.
This is another day that the Lord has given me. Ooh, this is another day that he blessed me. He kept me from all evil with my mind stayed on. And I know he's going to keep me
until he returns again.
Yes,
this is another day
that the Lord has given me.
How do we make the most of each day? Because every day is a gift. I think we all realize that, but that doesn't mean that we have really mastered life or that we're living intentionally. We're getting some help from a great new book from Pastor Robert Morgan called Mastering Life. Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. And this is from Howard Books, Rob's pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. We've had him on a number of times and glad to have him with us again. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to sign up for a copy of one of Rob's books or join us with a question or comment, we'd love to have you on. So, Rob, we talked a little bit about that first principle. You call it listening to a 12-year-old, be about your father's business. In fact, you do it maybe just as a way of kind of you had your own 12-year-old story, right? Your daughter actually reminded you of a little life lesson here when you're reflecting back on writing this.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we learn a lot from our children, and the Bible says that out of the mouth of babes comes wisdom. And there was one particular time when my daughter Hannah came back from school, and it had been field day, and she hadn't done very well. And I was bemoaning to her how, as a child, I wasn't very athletic, and I went on and on and on. I went on a little bit too long about my lack of athletic prowess, and she finally looked up at me and said, well, Dad, you really need to put your childhood behind you and to get on with the rest of your life. And coming out of her mouth, that just struck me as so wise and so funny, but it reminded me that children very often have a great perspective, but there was a child once who had more wisdom than any other child who ever lived. And it's incredible to me that his first recorded words were, I must be about my father's business. And that can serve as a motto for all of our lives. Everyone can say that as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Lord and find that the Heavenly Father has a plan, a meaningful plan for our lives, and that it's something that we can learn and we can come to know and experience. And that's what I try to relate and explain in Mastering Life Before It's Too Late.
Can we be about our Father's business without living a well-regulated life? I mean, I know that as we kind of unpack some of these, we're going to talk about, you know, everything from organization to not wasting time. But, I mean, in general, is it does it really take a, I guess maybe a disciplined life?
Well, you know, Neil, the book of Titus was written by the Apostle Paul to his troubleshooter Titus on the island of Crete, who was trying to bring some discipline into the churches and into the lives of Christians on that island, because the Cretans were very undisciplined, and some of them had become Christians, and they still were having trouble with the whole subject of self-discipline. And one of the words that occurs over and over and over again in Titus is tell them to be self-controlled, tell them to be self-controlled. And I think that as we grow in Christ, then our ability to regulate our lives and to be self-controlled and to be self-disciplined increases. And that's a very important component of the Christian life. In fact, Galatians 5:22 says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control or self-discipline. So how we grow to be better regulated and better organized and more self-disciplined is woven into this book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, because everything is about being productive for the kingdom. And to be pleasantly productive, then we have to grow in our ability to regulate and manage ourselves.
Well, it seems like, as you've just sort of alluded to, time is always one of those, maybe the first areas that we come to. That's one of your second strategies. We're talking about listening to a 12-year-old, be about your Father's business. Strategy number two, redeem the time, because wasted hours can never be regained. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, once we decide that we're going to live a life on purpose, that we're going to try our best to seek and to fulfill the will of God, then that means that we really do accept the premise that every day is recorded in God's book, that the Lord has an agenda for us for every day. And if we sit around and we spend the whole day surfing the internet and watching movies and sleeping and doing things that are unnecessarily a waste of our times. Now, you know, we all need some entertainment. We all need to research on the internet. We all need sleep. So I'm not saying that we have to be workaholics about it, but if we squander too much of our time, then we'll not be able to do what God has called us to do. And the book of Ephesians tells us in chapter 5 that we should be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, or some translations say making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And I don't want to waste a single moment. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm working every moment. Some moments are for rest or meditation. But I don't want to waste my time, because, as we said earlier, once a moment is gone, it's never coming back again. And so our time is our most valuable asset for the doing of the will of God, and we've got to learn to be the best stewards of our time that we can possibly be.
Well, it's not that many years ago that we weren't really regulated by time so much, right? It was pretty much sun up and sundown. Those were the only times that we paid attention to, right? So we've gotten pretty time conscious, haven't we?
I had such a good time 3 or 4 years ago when I went to Greenwich outside of London and studied the history of time. And one of the things I discovered is that there were no time zones anywhere in the world until the railroads came in, and they had to create time zones across Europe and in the United States in order to regulate the passengers who were boarding and departing on the trains. And so this idea of really watching the clock is relatively new. But when you go back to the Gospels, Jesus was very time conscious. And to go through John's Gospel, and I do this on a particular page in Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, and to look at all of the references Jesus makes to the hour, my hour is not yet come, my hour is here, the hour has come, he was very conscious of the fact that God had an agenda for his life that was unfolding hour by hour, and he needed to stay on schedule with the Father's will. And that's really the point that I'm making. Not that we become enslaved by our watches, but that we understand that every hour is important, and that we do our best to redeem the time, because the days are evil.
That's interesting, too, as you discuss that this is about living intentionally on purpose day by day. It's not sort of looking at the calendar and saying, well, you know, this next year I have to do this, or I mean that can be overwhelming if we pile on too much.
Yes, and I think that a lot of people are always planning or thinking about how they can serve the Lord in the future. But we don't even know if we have a future on this earth. The Bible says that we can't count on tomorrow. We don't know if we'll be here tomorrow, because life is very uncertain. The only day that we have for sure is today. So we have to say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord today. And I've come to the conclusion that it's very hard for us to plan 5 and 10 and 15 years into the future. Now, we do have to do some planning. We have to aim in the right direction, and we have to be prudent and wise so that as best we can, we're prepared for the future. But in terms of actually having a specific agenda, I think that's something that happens best day by day. And if we look at everything we've got to do, it'll overwhelm us. But if we just look at what we can do today, and do today's work today and leave tomorrow's work till tomorrow, then it's remarkable what we can get done over the period of time when afterwards we look back on it and see what God has accomplished.
So is there maybe one little tip or something that works for you in terms of that you've been able to apply as a biblical strategy to redeem the time?
Well, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish, he made a little extra. I think he made extra for the disciples to take to their families. And he gave this instruction. He said, gather up the fragments that remain. And that's a good conservation word for our time as well. A lot of times we have 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. We have 10 minutes. We have a wait here. We maybe are stuck dead, stopped in the traffic somewhere. But we have little fragments of time all through the day. Well, we ought to learn to take advantage of those. I mean, those can be good for scripture memory. They could be good for meditation, for prayer, for dashing off a quick note, for doing so many things. A lot of people get very much accomplished in the time that other people throw away, the little segments of time that other people throw away. And it doesn't mean that we're to be busy every moment, but it does mean that we just have got to take advantage of even small fragments of time, because every moment, I think, is precious in God's sight and should be counted and used reverently.
We'll get some more practical tips in moments ahead here from Robert Morgan, pastor of Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for 30-plus years. He's also had a 30-year hobby of tending the same flock of sheep as one of the unique things about him, living outside of in the Nashville area. And he's authored some 25 books, and this is his latest, called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. Great insight and advice. We'll take your questions and comments coming up here in just a moment, and I want to give you an opportunity to sign up for one of the copies of the book. We've got 3 copies to give away. We do that at the end of the hour, so give us a call and sign up for that. 877-93-FAITH is the number, 877-933-2484. And if you have a question for Rob Morgan, you're welcome to just give us a call and let us know what you'd like to get some help on in terms of getting your life mastered before it's too late. More with Rob Morgan coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned. Morgan says, you know, it's about living a pleasantly productive life. It just has a nice ring to it. And there's some godly patterns to make that happen. And he's put them together in a great book called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. Rob Morgan pastors Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, some 3,000-plus members there and attend. And he's best-selling author, gold medallion-winning author, 25 books or more, and this is his latest, and we're happy to have him back with us on Connecting Faith. And Rob, I'm wondering if we're talking about some of these biblical strategies. Are, do you have to be sort of wired this way? I mean, were you just sort of naturally organized and sort of time management, all those things just sort of happen easily for you? And if you're not naturally that way, do you have some recommendations?
Well, yes, I think that I am sort of wired that way, and not everybody has the same sort of energy level or drive. We're all made differently, and God has given us all different personalities. And when you look at the great heroes of Christian history, then, you know, you see that there are so many different personality types that God has used. But the Bible does talk about zeal, and it talks about fervor, and it talks about devotion. And all of us, regardless of our personality types, should tackle life with devotion. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So I think the advice that I'm trying to give in Mastering Life doesn't just work for people who may be high-strung or type A's. It's for whoever wants to really fulfill in their lives what God has called them to do. And regardless of our personality type, we're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord.
You know, there are countless books and seminars on this topic. Is there some advice on how we can sort of hear what the Bible says about this? I mean, or maybe interpret those? I mean, you quote a number of, people that have great insights in terms of time management, organization, things too. But how do we sort of pull out the right things and not get sort of caught up in some of just their interesting ideas?
I have read so many self-help books over the years. I've really read a lot of biographies. I love biographies. I've read all of the self-improvement literature. And this is my conclusion, Neil, that the Bible is the best self-improvement book that's ever been written, because the Bible tells us how to live God's way. And so in my book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, I write against the backdrop of my awareness of the genre of self-improvement and self-help. But I try to go to the Bible and to show how the principles of the Bible for effectiveness and productivity and for purpose are the ones that will help us the most. And I've tried my best to make those practical in terms of how to go about our daily lifestyle so as to fulfill the things that will be the best for us and for the kingdom. We only have one life on this planet. Now, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we'll pick up in heaven and keep on going. But we want to do the very best we can to leave a legacy or to make a mark or to fulfill what God has called us to do. And the Bible is the best book at giving us the advice of how to do that.
You referenced a little bit earlier about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and gathering up the fragments that remained. It was interesting as you were talking about the Jesus that you said, God is a God of organization, of order, not disorder, and that we can even see in Jesus' life. And I hadn't really thought about it, but even the feeding of the 5,000 is just evidence of Jesus' care for order and organization.
Well, we can see it everywhere in the life of Christ. Now, the things happening around Jesus were rather chaotic. All of the crowds and the multitudes and the danger and the soldiers and the storms and everything else. But he was serene. He was well organized. It says that when he fed the 5,000, he had everybody sit down in groups of 50 and in groups of 100. We see how he sent the disciples out two by two, and then he sent the 70 out, and he built a foundation which would continue after he went to heaven. He was methodical about what he did. He kept himself on schedule. He was always aware of the agenda for every day. He knew how to withdraw and to rest and how to plunge into the work. And this is reflective of God himself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not a God of confusion or of disorder, but a God of order. So one of the points that I make in Mastering Life is that when we get our lives organized and when we keep our workspaces clear and when we make our beds and sort of live without chaos all around us, then that really is reflective of the character and the nature of an organized God. When we look into the sky and we see the stellar heavens, or we look into the microscope and we see the molecular world, it's all organized. The Lord does things with a great sense of organization. And so if the Lord is organized, why shouldn't we be? It doesn't mean we should be obsessive or compulsive about it, but it means that we need a certain degree of organization in our lives if we truly are going to be pleasantly productive.
And maybe just from your own life, or is there a tip that you would say in terms of that clearing the decks, getting organized? What has maybe worked for you, and would you recommend to others?
One of the most important things is learning to keep our work surface clear. You know, when you go on a flight, then you can lower your tray table and you can get out your pad and your paper and your books or maybe a small computer and you can do work there. But then you've got to clear it all away and put your tray tables in their full and upright position. Well, I find I can often get a lot of work done on an airplane if I'm not too tired because I've got that little clear space. And if you could see my desk right now, I'm at my desk. There are some pages and papers piled up on either end of it that I've got to go through. But right where I do my work, it's clear. And if my wife is disabled, so I'm the primary cook and bottle washer in the family, and I enjoy cooking, but I've got to keep the area where I'm preparing the food clear. Whatever it is, if you're a carpenter, you need to keep your workbench where you do your work clear. So one of the first things to do to bring order into your life is to begin by keeping your workspace clear. When you finish a project, put things up so that you'll have a clear space for the next time that you start a project. And that's been one of the most helpful little pieces of advice that I was ever given and that I followed.
We're talking with Rob Morgan today about his new book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. We've got some copies we'll give away. You can sign up for one here at the end of the hour. It's 877-93-FAITH is the number, 877-933-2484. Why don't you say a word about the most important maybe time of the day, that making the morning, maximizing the morning, and you offer a quote from Missionary Hudson Taylor, which I so appreciate. He says, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him." Talk about that first appointment each day.
Well, and yes, when it comes to the morning, maximizing the morning, I like to tell people that the morning is the best time to start the day. It's the best time to stop and pray. It's the best time to plan our way. The greatest single habit that I was taught as a newly dedicated Christian was to have my morning devotions, my appointment with God every day. And it took me a while to develop that. It isn't easy if you haven't been doing it to develop any new habit, but especially this one. But if you can, and everybody's schedule is different. So, you know, I'll admit that for some people, maybe bedtime is better or the lunch hour. But for me, I wake up every morning, get my cup of coffee, go to a little desk upstairs. I have a journal. I'll write a few sentences in it about the day yesterday or the day ahead of me. I'll start reading in my Bible where I left off the day before, or I'll focus on some passage that I'm working on memorizing. This morning I was in Psalm 121. I'll make a few notes about it. I spend time in prayer. And then while I am still in a sense of the conscience presence of the Lord, then I'll look at my calendar, I'll look at my to-do list, and I'll plan out the day. And I write a little agenda for the day on a 3x5 card. As best I know how, I say, this is what the Lord wants me to do today. And I'll stick it in my pocket or stick it in my little notebook that I carry around. And that becomes my map for the day. And to me, it makes all the difference that I go into the day with a plan. There are, you know, some things that are non-negotiables, like a radio interview at this hour. So I have that down there, things that are appointments or that are pre-scheduled. But then we all have a certain amount of discretion during the day. So if we have 50 things that we can do, but we only have like 3 hours, then what should we spend those 3 hours doing? Prayerfully, to think it through at the beginning of the day and make a little agenda as a part of your quiet time, to me, has been the greatest secret for tackling every day with a sense of purpose, and I would recommend it to all the listeners.
Brings up a good question. I'll have you react to it. Jane called in from West Union, Iowa, listening on Faith 1090, Waterloo, and she says, what's a way to master your thinking? For example, maybe negative thinking or being distracted during prayer time. I know you address, you know, the right kind of attitude as well, but talk about mastering your thinking.
Well, the best thing that I can say here is scripture memory. And, Neil, I've got another book called 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. It actually is like number 50 or 51 right now on the Amazon bestseller list. And it's a book about memorizing key passages of scripture. And I'm just an advocate for scripture memory, because if we can collect Bible verses in our minds and commit them to memory, we can meditate on them. And if you have depressing thoughts, or you have thoughts of an immoral nature, or you have thoughts that are angry or distracting, you can train yourself to take your mind right to some memorized scripture, to quote it, maybe to quote it out loud. And it is so therapeutic, it is like healing for the mind. And I was just working today on Psalm 121, as I said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And to be able to quote those verses and to take them with you all the time and to allow them to be working in your mind even when you're sleeping. Well, that's a part of mastering life, by mastering the mental disciplines that lead to healthy thinking. So that's another book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, which I think it complements Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, because both of them are on the theme of really getting God's Word resonating in our minds and in our lives.
Why don't you just respond to then to Eloise had a question. She asked, could you share any advice? Her and her husband have recently retired, and she was so used to a work schedule. Now, of course, the schedule is different. How can her and her husband work on mastering life maybe without the daily schedule of a work routine?
Well, retirement is God's way for freeing us up for further service. And so if you find yourself retired and you don't have the same sort of pressures or routines you once had, you have to develop a new routine. And there are some opportunities there, because you have more time for your devotions maybe in the morning, more time for rest, more time for exercise, which is very important, more time for prayer. But also there's more opportunities then to look around to see what your gifts are, what your interests are, to see how the Lord may use you, and to volunteer or to plunge into some work, and also into hobbies that may be, you know, I don't know whether or not the person who wrote that question has grandchildren, but to have hobbies that correspond with what our grandchildren are doing, and to use that time to enrich our relationship with family members. I mean, there's just a world of opportunities. I've been thinking about it a great deal. I'm not at retirement age yet, but in my prayer book, I've got a list of things that I may want to do when and if my time frees up some, and I've got about a dozen things on that list. And some of them have to do with ministry and other opportunities, and maybe getting involved in prison ministry. Some of them have to do with more time for praying for the persecuted church around the world. I mean, there are so many opportunities. I've thought about volunteering to be involved in a prison ministry somewhere, which is so very important. There's mission trips you can go on at almost any age. So to prayerfully think through all the opportunities, and to think about your gifts and interests, and to realize, as we said before from Psalm 139, that God has planned out every day of your life in advance, and we just need to correspond our lives to that plan. Well, what a wonderful set of opportunities that would be.
Pastor Robert Morgan, talking about his book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, says, to master life, we must know the master himself and gain mastery of his word. And we're going to talk more about some of the great principles, these biblical strategies for a lifetime purpose, coming up in a moment. The phone number is 877-933-2484. Or if you want to drop us a note, you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And we'll talk more with Pastor Rob Morgan from Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, coming up in a moment. You go. Morgan today. He's pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He served there for 30-plus years and authored more than 25 books, including The Lord is My Shepherd, The Red Sea Rules, Then Sings My Soul, and the one we're talking about today is Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. Probably won't get through all 10, Rob, but one of them you talk about is living as if. That's a wonderful phrase. Maybe say a word about how we can, maybe even when our emotions aren't really giving us that that lifetime purpose, because maybe alongside of that comes the plotting, which you address as well.
Well, it says in the book of Hebrews about Moses that he lived as if seeing him who was invisible. And, you know, the secular world believes in the as-if principle. They think that if we just think that something is true and live as if it were, then it will become true. They say if you can believe it, you can achieve it. And that's a very shallow philosophy, but for Christians, we have behind a similar philosophy the truthfulness of God. And so we can live as if the promises of God are true because they are. We can live as if God is with us because he is. We can live as though we should rejoice in the Lord always because we should. And so living by faith is the principle of taking every day and living as if what God says is absolutely true, Genesis to Revelation, because it is. And once we do that, that gives us the power and the capacity of determining our attitudes. And we don't have to live by our feelings. We can live by our attitudes. Feelings come and go, but attitudes come and grow. That really is what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. We may not feel love towards someone, but we can act as if we did love them. And as we choose that obedience, then the Lord will help the emotions and the feelings to come along and to bolster up the attitudes. But that's my way of describing the life of faith.
But you also talk about, too, the value of plotting, sort of, again, I guess getting back to that. It's the day-by-day doing the steady, maybe the small thing each and every day with a bigger picture by faith of what God has for us.
Yes, plotting with the D, P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G. Sometimes we plot, but sometimes we have to plod. And, you know, one of the things that, to me, is so helpful is to remember that I don't have to do everything in the world, and I don't have to do it all at once. That the Lord assigns our work in small increments, and we have to just work persistently and faithfully. And, you know, Neil, we very seldom are called upon or have the opportunity of doing great things. I would love to be doing great things all the time, but I very seldom do any great thing. We do small things with great faithfulness. But as we do those small things that God gives us every day with great faithfulness, then the accumulation of the influence of all of that is great over time, and the Lord will have a way of multiplying our efforts and bringing about what the Bible calls a harvest of righteousness.
You address a wonderful verse in Mark 6:31 and suggest that maybe that verse, the three words at the end of that verse are probably the most important. Talk about that.
Get some rest. One of the principles of mastering life that I discuss is pulling off at rest stops. And the idea is that all of these things do not make us workaholics because they are balanced in with the rhythms of replenishment and rest and refreshment and revival that the Bible says so much about. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, the disciples were just exhausted. People were coming and going. They didn't have time even to eat. And that entire chapter, Mark 6, is a very tense chapter. It's when John the Baptist was beheaded and when the disciples were sent out two by two. And by the end of the chapter, they were just exhausted. But Jesus said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." That is Mark 6:31 in the New International Version. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And that might be the very verse that the Lord Jesus would speak to one of our listeners today, if he were just to sit down and talk to them. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We all become weary and tired. We even become exhausted. But to stay in a condition like that for too long is detrimental. And the Lord wants us to have rest in our souls as well as with our bodies.
Which gives us an opportunity to talk about the 10th principle. We're talking about the book Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. And number 10 is Remember There Are Two of You. Explain what that means.
Well, Charles Spurgeon was the great London preacher of the Victorian era who accomplished so much. He preached multiple times every week. He headed up 40 or 50 benevolent organizations. He was the pastor of a great congregation. He was a prolific writer. And David Livingstone, the missionary explorer, once asked him, "Mr. Spurgeon, how do you manage to do the work of two people every day?" And Spurgeon said, "You have forgotten that there are two of us, and the one you don't see is doing the most of the work." And that's the great secret of the believer. It's not what we're doing for the Lord, but what he is doing through us that really makes the difference. And as we try our best to be obedient and to go about those good works that we have every day and to plod along at what the Lord gives us to do, somehow we can be assured that the Lord is working through us and that Galatians 2:20 is correct when it says, "It is not I, but Christ who works in me and through me." And one of the great comforts in my life is realizing that I really cannot do anything by my own power. I can't change anything. I can't change a single person's life by my own abilities of persuasion or by my own efforts. But as I just go about trying to do what God has given me to do, he has a way of using it in ways far beyond anything that I can imagine. And this is why in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all of the work for the temple of the Lord is finished."
Such a good word. That'll preach, Ron. I mean, you maybe preached that before. I'm thinking that you probably encountered a time or two, and maybe we've all felt it, where you know, people are coming to you and say, "You know, Rob, I've wasted a lot of years in my life, and you know, I haven't been mastering life. How do you deal with failure and in trying turning it back around?"
Well, we just start today. There's a wonderful verse in the book of Micah that the Lord will make up the years that the locusts have eaten, and we can't do anything about the past except to nail it to the cross, to put it under the blood of Christ, and to begin today, doing the best we can at following the Lord and being his disciple and seeking to do his will. And the Lord, in his grace and mercy, it's like a GPS when you get off track and he recalculates. The Lord knows how to recalibrate and recalculate. And wherever we are when we give ourselves to him, he somehow manages very quickly to get us on the right path and to help us to be productive. So we've got to ask his forgiveness of the past and give it to him. We can't worry a whole lot about the future because we don't know the future. But just for today, we can be faithful. We can do the work that God has called us to do. We can be about our Father's business, and we can master life before it's too late.
We've got about 30 seconds left. One of the outcomes is that we experience joy, right? I mean, life can actually be joyful no matter what, right?
I devote an entire segment to this book to the concept of joy. The cultivation of joy for a melancholic like me has been one of the greatest discoveries of my life, and I describe it and how other people can have the same experience in a biblical sense in this book, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late.
Well, check it out. It's a great read. And as always, Rob Morgan, such a gifted writer and pastor, and we're always appreciative of the time he gives us when we can get together. Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, 10 Biblical Strategies for a Lifetime of Purpose. It's from Howard Books. Rob is a pastor at the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's served there for about three decades, and he's authored more than 25 books, many of them award-winning. And also does some writing for David Jeremiah and Turning Point Magazine and has a gift for communicating God's truth in a very understandable way. So, Rob, blessings to you. Good to visit with you again. We look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much. The Lord bless you.
Rob Morgan joining us today on Connecting Faith. Hope you were encouraged by today's conversation. If you missed part of it or like to pass it on to a friend, you can do that. We put the podcast up after the show's over, and it's all shareable. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith for our audio archive.